Hello, this is Chef Allie here, hostessing a free raw food information and education call. These are 30-minute calls that I'm holding every week now, kind of like your favorite TV station or TV show. I'll have a replay up shortly, and that way you can download the MP3 or listen right there on your computer and get the information you need to get your questions answered. You will find the replays at askchefallie.com. That's askchefallie.com. Welcome also to the new people who subscribe to my list. And if you're someone who's just joined me, please be sure to take this opportunity to ask anything you've wanted to know about Vibrant Living Foods. You can send your questions to me about 30 minutes prior to the call to support@askchefallie.com or submit questions via the blog at askchefallie.com. Each of the posts on the blog have a red headline, and you just click on those and it drops down a little box and you can write any questions there that you might have as well. Also on the call, if you're live on the call tonight, while I do have everyone muted, you can raise your hand with any question that comes up by pressing 5 and the star key from your keypad. So these calls give you an opportunity to get to know me better, and I do send out email offerings of replays to those of you who are new in that sequence of email contacts for me. And also, I do email on occasion. It can be anywhere from 3 to 5, maybe even 7 times a month on a rare occasion. And I'd like you to be prepared for that. If you're not interested in any topic that I share, then just simply hit the delete key, and that way it won't clutter up your inbox at any time. So I do hope that you do check out some of the things I'm doing some of the time, since really I'm offering information just to be of assistance to you and help you on your journey. I'm really honored that you've taken the time to join me on this call, and I am here to help you on your journey through the wonderful world of raw vegan foods. I term it vibrant foods, basically just because for me, it's just good food. It's good for you. It tastes good when you know the tips and shortcuts and ways to make it easy and fast and flavorful. And that's what I offer you from my experience and culinary training. I want you to be certain that this can be easy for you, that it can be flavorful and fast too, plus offer so much variety. You know, my story for those of you who are new to me is that basically I've been a vegetarian since 1995, so not really a healthy one since I still ate a lot of processed sugars and carbs. And, initially I kind of yo-yo dieted much of my life when I was younger. I've tried everything from pills and shakes and Weight Watchers several times. And while some of those might work for short periods of time, even up to about 2 years at one time for some of them, it always seemed to fall back. And that's kind of what happened when I became a vegetarian. I was exercising, and at the time the change was enough really to lose weight, and I was feeling better. So even though I learned about raw foods in the spring of 96, I didn't feel the need to change urgently, and the other piece of it was I was feeling pretty good. And third part is really that I felt like I would be giving up something, that I'd be missing something if I switched to the raw foods. So there just wasn't enough incentive for me. And then in 98, I had a couple of ankle injuries, and still eating the processed foods, I started gaining weight again. By 2004, I was getting 4 to 5 respiratory illnesses each year. I was what some people might call weight challenged. I was wearing a size 18 clothes, and honestly, even some of those were getting a little bit tight. You know, I had the foggy thinking. I was exhausted all the time. And really, by August of 2004, I was kind of in a place in my life where I was fed up and tired of being sick and tired. And I also looked around me at other people. You know, the guy I was married to at the time in his mid-40s was already taking high blood pressure medication and thyroid medication. His mother had already had cancer, 3 different kinds of cancer already, and his dad was using a walker, and they were in their late 60s. And I just looked at that and thought, oh, God, that's not quality of life to me. That's not really living. And if I don't want to be like that, I've got to make some drastic changes right now. So I happened to be, you know, over the 8 years that I learned about raw before I actually changed to raw, I kept reading about it off and on, and I happened to be reading a book in August of 04, 7 years ago, and it just kind of clicked for me, and I decided to make the change, and I did that. While it took 8 years of thinking about it, once I made the decision, I did it 100% overnight. And, you know, at the time, there weren't a lot of resources out there, and I didn't have anyone to go to ask questions, and I really struggled that first year and a half. You know, initially, I did lose 25 pounds, and I gained great energy, and I just felt so much better. So, you know, the holidays came up, and I got with family, and I started eating some cooked again. It kind of crept back into my diet more and more, up to about 50%. And, you know, really it was kind of the weight started coming back, and plus some, and then the sluggishness and the illness again. So I got real clear discernment about what worked for my body and what didn't. And I'd have to say, you know, that's one of the most important keys that I like to share with people, I feel, is that listening to your body signals for what's working for you. Now, that might be 100% right away, like I did, or it might be just working more vegetables and fruits into your eating and shifting your eating habits for maximal metabolism, even while still eating something less than 100% raw vegan. You know, it's really important to listen to the signals for you. And you might ask, well, what are those signals? Well, it's going to be different for everybody. So, you know, I'll give you a few examples. It could be acne. It could be indigestion, gaining weight, constant tiredness, getting ill regularly, headaches. It is different for each person. And just know that it's got the same base cause, and that is that your body's out of sync with its optimal health. In the Western allopathic medicine system, they call that homeostasis when you're in optimal health. When you're out of that, you're out of homeostasis. So, and you know when you feel better than you can today. You know, most of us, we have a sense of what that is. It's just in society we're taught to ignore those signals, and so it's about getting back in touch with what those signals are for you. And, you know, I just felt so passionately about helping other people learn how to take control of their health through vibrant and yummy foods, because I grew up a bit of a foodie, and I just insist that the stuff, I just insist it tastes good. You know, so many people, they get into health kicks, and they're willing to, they think they have to compromise and eat food that just doesn't taste good, or eat the same thing over and over, and it's just boring. And, you know, I just wasn't willing to settle for that. And I think it's really important if people are going to stick with this, they've got to have a sense that, one, it's going to taste good, and two, that it's going to be easy for them. Now, yeah, there's a learning curve. Anytime we pick up something new, there is going to be a learning curve. And so initially, maybe there's, you know, not maybe, initially there is, unless you're already, you know, a cook in the kitchen frequently, yeah, there is going to be some learning techniques and skills that go along with this. And if you stick with it for 6 months, you know, over time, it's going to get so much easier and things get much simpler. Because initially you start eating more complicated foods so that you still feel full and like you're getting all the nourishment like you did, you know, eating cooked foods. Because cooked foods, all the nourishment's cooked out of it. So you just have to eat volumes of food in order to feel like you're nourished and your stomach is extended. When you go to raw foods, there's so much more nourishment, and it just allows you to eat less. And so over time, your body says it doesn't need as much. And when I got the training, first I went through Alyssa Cohen's offerings. And while that was great, and it gave me some information to share with people, I still, as a foodie, I felt like I wanted even more. I wanted to give even better information. So I kind of looked around it and decided that, you know, it was really important to get the very best training to others. And so I attended what's considered the best in the field, which is the Living Light Culinary Arts Institute. And I became certified as an associate chef and instructor with them. Now, I've been raw, it'll be 7 years next month, and which to me, in some ways, seems like an eternity. Honestly, though, I'm still learning new things all the time. So I'm able to pass on that information to you, and that's really part of what I like to do is, you know, share those, you know, go to the events and trainings and share that information with you, kind of help shortcut things and make your life easier. So today I wanted to spend a little bit of our time talking about children and raw foods. You know, a lot of times I have students that have come to me and they've said, you know, how am I going to integrate this with my kids? I just don't know how to do that. Or, you know, I've got kids that hate vegetables, or I've got picky eaters at home. And, you know, a lot of times children are led by what the parents or what the caregivers do themselves. And so the role modeling actually is an critical part of sharing food with children. And when they see that it's enjoyable, that it's fun, you know, children can enjoy a raw foods diet from the moment of birth. Breast milk, after all, really is kind of the supreme raw food. You know, it's fresh, it's nutritious, it's safe, it's free from contamination as long as the mother's eating well. And, you know, it's always the right temperature, and it comes in a lovely container for most people. So, you know, and breast milk's ideal for a baby's first 6 months to 1 year of age. You know, the World Health Organization is currently encouraging women to nurse at least for 2 years, and many mothers for even longer. And then when you're moving children into something more like adults, you know, starting out with things like diluted carrot juice can be introduced to babies between 4 and 6 months of age. And then after 6 months, you can go into diluted non-citrus type fruit juices. They can be given on occasion. And for nursing babies, you know, you do want to limit their intake to about 3 to 4 ounces daily so that they continue to focus on the breast milk. Coconut water actually is excellent for young children, and it can be given after about 6 months of age, too. Green vegetable drinks can be introduced between about 6 and 9 months of age. And if they taste strongly, like if you're using a kale or a broccoli, something like that, you know, they can be sweetened with apple juice or carrot juice or even diluted 50% with water. Also, the nuts and seed milks can be introduced around 8 months of age. And smoothies can be given to babies from about 9 months and up. Citrus fruits and juices can also be given when children are at least 1 year of age. You want to wait until about that age time frame to add in the citrus. And then solid foods can be started around 6 months of age. You know, when a baby's able to hold his or her head up independently or has doubled his or her birth weight, that's a good time to start adding in the solid foods. And a blender or a grinder can be used to mash the raw foods into suitable baby fare. You know, it's wisest really to introduce only one new food a week probably. You know, trying to mix a bit of the new food with a food that's already familiar to the child can be handy. And bananas really are an ideal first solid food. Other raw foods that also make excellent blended baby foods include things like apples, apricots, avocados, berries, cherries, coconut, fresh young coconut meat is really good, mangoes, papayas, melons. Do remember to keep your melons separate, though, both for the child's digestion as well as your own, too, because they digest faster than anything else. Peaches are really good as well. Pears, peas, plums, spinach, string beans, sweet potatoes, the squashes, including the winter yellow and zucchinis. And if any of those foods need to be sweetened, just blend in some soaked raisins or dates. Those can be really good. You know, when the child reaches toddlerhood, they're really going to appreciate solid finger foods. So, you know, peel those foods that can be peeled and introduce the solid foods to them under supervision, because as babies easily choke, when their food's raw or not, it's important to have supervision. So good finger foods, when you cut them up, are going to be things like apples and bananas and berries, the mangoes and the melons again, peaches, pears, plums, and the summer squash. And then spirulina, the blue-green algaes, those can be given in small amounts, maybe about a quarter teaspoon daily, to a child that's over 7 months old. And it's good to give those because the spirulina is a really a good source of protein and chlorophyll. Now, do you remember one of the things about raw foods, even or cooked foods even, is not to give honey to babies that are less than 2 years of age, because there is a slight danger of botulism. So children over the age of two won't be susceptible to it. And if you're looking for sweeteners, again, prior to that age, just use the soaked dates or apricots or figs if needed. And then, better yet, offer unsweetened foods that are just naturally delicious. And if you do that from early on, children will just naturally gravitate to that as a choice. And once a child's got adequate teeth to chew well and begins to show an interest in what adults are eating, you know, he or she, they're ready to explore the full palate of adult food. So at this point, one way to encourage your child to eat more vegetables is to serve like a tasty dip along with them. You can try tahini, which is made from ground sesame seeds, and it's also rich in protein and the highest source of calcium per calorie, and it tastes pleasant, and it makes really good vegetable dips. Also, things like ground sunflower and pumpkin seeds that are rich in minerals and zinc, they're excellent for kids who are slow to grow, too. And then things like sea vegetables, they're a great source of minerals for developing bones. And so using kelp or adults in dressings or seasonings, that can also be really valuable. And oftentimes with children, it's kind of the texture of vegetables that children dislike, not the flavor of the vegetable necessarily. So just try a variety of forms and textures to see what it is that your kids like best. You know, if your child's a picky eater, just ask him or her for their suggestions. Rather than announcing that broccoli's what's on the dinner menu tonight, you know, try asking the child if he or she would rather have broccoli or zucchini, and then, you know, really honor their preference. You know, if your children are quick to assert that they hate something, then just remind them that they might have disliked it when they were younger, maybe four, for example, but now that they're six, now that they're much bigger, they might find that they like it. And, you know, children do appreciate the opportunity to kind of show their maturity. So something like that can be how we approach it, how we talk about things can make a big difference, too. Also, something else that could be valuable is taking your child shopping with you and asking him or her to select, you know, a produce item for every color of the rainbow, you know, make a game out of it. You know, ask them to select a produce item from every color of the rainbow that they'd like to eat. So also things like decoration and presentation and humor, those are particularly effective tools in living raw with children. And you just delight your children by making food in shapes like their initials or hearts or animals or flowers. And, you know, you can use raisins and nuts and sliced fruit to make the designs, like a happy face, or make a mandala on a salad, a bowl of sprouted cereal, an open-faced sandwich, like a sprouted almond butter sandwich. You know, create theme menus, too, can be really fun. So, you know, maybe you do a jungle menu, for example, or a meal featuring foods from a particular country. You know, that's something else that can be fun to do with kids. So you just want to invite the young ones, your kids that are old enough but still young, into the kitchen to help, too. Because when they're participating, even a simple task like stirring or pouring or decorating, that gives the child a sense of having contributed to your family's meal. And when they take ownership, they're much more likely to want to eat the food as well. Also, you know, all of us, children included, almost all children like sweets, and to deny them will really only cause arguments. So be sure to provide, you know, homemade raw sweets on hand. I like to make up batches of, like, the raw truffles, brownies, those sorts of things, and you can find some free recipes for those on my website, askchefallie.com, under the recipe, raw recipe section. And also puddings, things like that. Make fresh and frozen treats as well from, like, mashed watermelon or orange juice or apple juice, too. Go to the dollar store and get some of those popsicle containers where you can just pour the juice in and make fresh popsicles for them or fresh slushies. And also you can freeze things like raw carob milk for like fudgesicles. So basically using fruit and dried fruit in place of candy can also be helpful. And just rather than forbidding children to eat certain foods, you know, explain to them why these are foods your family chooses to avoid. And don't expect your children to be totally raw their entire lives. They may make other choices. You know, they'll have friends, they'll have school lunches, unless you're homeschooling them, and restaurants to tempt them with non-raw food, and they'll want to try this too. And it's not really worth a big argument if your kids decide to eat unraw. In fact, you're likely to turn them off of the raw food diet if you're fanatical about it. So just make sure your kids have healthy raw food available at the time when they're with you so that they do have a choice. And then, you know, when dealing with children and nutrition, just stick with the humor and the sincerity as your best approach. You know, if you're laying the groundwork for a healthy lifestyle, your kids will return to eating healthy foods when they're old enough to make their own decisions. You know, it's kind of interesting in life as people are getting older. I find oftentimes a lot of my students come to me when they're facing some critical health issues. Some of them have already actually been through major health issues, but some of them are starting to get older and facing some critical health issues, and so they want to make sure that, like me, they're making choices so that they're living healthier as they age. And, you know, some of the younger students that I have coming in are people that come in and they say, well, you know, when I was growing up, we had a vegetarian household, and I got away from that in college, and I was eating pizzas and stuff like that. But now that I'm in, you know, my later 20s, now that I'm out of college, I'm thinking that I really need to eat better. And that comes from that foundation of having families that really support healthy eating. And I think people, if given the education, they will return to that over time. So, you know, going back to things like the themed dinners, to make stuff fun for your kids, you know, we talked about perhaps choosing a different country or something. So you could do like an all-American. So let me give you a few examples and some stuff to go with it. So like an all-American meal, it could be something like a sunflower pate with celery. You could do mashed parsnips or mashed cauliflower with a gravy. You can do nut burgers, sun burger kind of things with raw ketchup. A vegetable pot pie could be good for the wintertime. And then always a favorite for most people is the all-raw apple pies, something like that. You could also do puddings or like a red, white, and blue fruit salad. So you'd use blueberries and strawberries and or, you know, something like that. And then maybe a cashew cream for the white, or you could even use a almond milk pudding of some sort. And that can make a really nice fruit salad. If you wanted to do like a German meal, you could do like a celery soup and a kale salad, some sauerkraut, maybe even some breakfast patties like a Brazil nut banana pancakes even, applesauce. You could also do noodle roni with cheese. So all of those are kind of a nice like German type theme. If you wanted to do like an Indian flavored meal, things like a mango lassi could be really good, and a cucumber mint salad, khichdi, some curry sauce, maybe a date and a mint chutney. You could do some samosas, some chapatis, which are the flatbreads, and then maybe either a coconut pudding or a mango papaya ice cream. Either or both of those could be really delightful too. And then, of course, a favorite for most people is Italian. This one's really pretty easy. You know, you just do a nice Caesar salad or Mediterranean salad with an Italian dressing, one of those two. You can make some garlic butter with garlic toast. You can also do a lasagna or a ravioli. They call it, oftentimes call it ravioli, or buttered noodles. And then you can do a primavera pasta, which is a vegetable pasta, and you can either use an olive oil pesto or a tomato-based sauce, or even a white Alfredo-type sauce. So any of those could be really fun. Mexican food's also another really favorite fun one to do with kids. You can do something like a corn salad. If you want a soup, you can offer a gazpacho-type soup, especially in the summertime. Right now is a great opportunity for that at the farmers markets. The tomatoes are in, and gazpacho could be a good choice there. You can do a pate that's got Mexican seasonings in it, like cumin and coriander as well, and the chilies, and a guacamole to go with that, avocado guacamole. You can make some corn chips pretty easily if you've got a dehydrator. If you don't, you can just make chips out of rounds of zucchini and carrots and things like that to eat your guacamole with. Also, sauces are really easy to make, and then an enchilada could be good. And then for dessert, maybe a key lime pie. You know, the lime flavoring can be really nice with a Latin meals. Other options, too. Oriental also is another favorite for many people. And if you wanted to do an Oriental-type thing, something along an Asian salad of some sort, a coconut soup, like a tom yum or a tom kai soup, and then also something like an Asian broccoli that's kind of cut up and done with a marinade. Spring rolls can also be fun. And you can make up a mustard sauce and a sweet and sour sauce to go with that. And then you can do a not fried rice, basically, you have a couple of options for that. You can either use zucchini to make rice-sized pieces, or cauliflower to make rice-sized pieces, or even a mixture of that with some pine nuts. Pine nuts are pretty pricey these days, and so most people are going to want to lean towards the vegetables from a cost standpoint. And that's also an option. And then things like Thai noodles. So you're using the same base noodles that you could use, the same zucchini noodles that you might use for an Italian meal, but your flavorings, your sauces are going to be a different base and have more of the Asian flavorings. So you could take some vegetables and marinate them in some of the Thai-type seasonings. And the nori rolls also could be a good option. Oh, and if you want a soup, always a miso-based soup can be really nice. And then for dessert, again, something like a pudding or a lemon-based dessert could be really nice as well. And then, of course, it is summertime, and a lot of people think about barbecue and southern-type roots and meals. So, think about serving a limeade and maybe a kale or a collard green type salad. You can also do fresh corn on the cob. You do want to make sure that that's non-GMO, if at all possible. And then you can also do raw style type ribs and have a barbecue sauce, and then maybe a pecan pie or a sweet potato pie. Both of those could be really good, or even a peach cobbler. So all of those can be really kind of fun. I see that we're getting close to the end of our time for today's call, so I just basically want to kind of wrap things up and recap about eating raw. But, it's just really a reminder. It's about keeping it simple and delicious and fresh. This time of year, particularly with all the farmers markets and all the produce in, it's great to make that your first option, local and fresh as much as possible. And, the real benefits are that it just helps keep you slim and trim and young and beautiful. It's great for the skin and good for the health. There will be a replay again, I'll remind you of that, a replay link at AskChefAllie.com. And you can download this as an MP3 to listen on your iPod or listen to it through your computer, whatever works best for you. And I'm just so happy that you're joining me here and taking the time to really find out what, the best way to take care of yourself. And be sure to follow me on Twitter. It's Chef Allie Raw. And friend me on Facebook, too. It's Chef Allie Kent, I guess is what it is. And I do have a new raw food news site that I'm running as well. If you follow me on Twitter, I kind of link every day what's new on raw foods diet. And that just pulls stories from all over the world. It's got recipes, it's got news, health issues, all kinds of things. And it's great to go on there and see what the news of the day is. And you can also subscribe just using your email. You can subscribe and get daily updates just sent to you so that you don't have to, you know, worry about actually logging on there every day. That way, you know, when we're connected, I can help see what you need help with and where you are. And, you know, just kind of a reminder, my first year and a half, I didn't have anybody to ask any questions to, and it was such a struggle. And that's kind of why I really like to get help to you, get it right to the heart of the matter and shortcut the challenges. And I'd just like you to be able to say that you had an easier time of it because you could ask Chef Allie anything, and Chef Allie got you the answers to your questions and helped you get what you wanted to know. So thank you so much. We're going to end the call here. Thank you for spending time, and I'll look forward to connecting with you again soon. Hopefully you'll join me again next week. Have a blessed evening.